This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Blue Monday live Q&A for a Wednesday night, the show where we do utterly no preparation whatsoever and you do the entire running order. So to stop me waffling, get as many questions as you can in the chat right now. We'll try and answer as many as we can. We normally do all of them, dare I suggest, unless it gets really, really packed. So we're going to hang around for the foreseeable future. And we're going to take all of your questions. Fill the chat with questions over on YouTube. We're live on Twitter. We're live on Facebook as well. Whichever platform you're watching, well, the first thing you need to do is hit a button that's that shaped and try and get the stream moving and draw some more eyeballs to us. But please, please do get your questions in and look at the two super brains I've got here to answer them. Craig Finbo, how is it going, sir?
Yeah, all right. Very good. Thank you very much. I've slightly rejigged my display behind me. Look, I've got my Champions book on display. Like Rich has. I noticed Rich the other day. Nice. He had his Champions 91-92 book in the background. So, yeah.
Very, very nice, too. And down at the bottom there, this is, I don't know if you're going to go on strike here, Seb, because when we were just chatting before we went, you were on the top, weren't you? But you've been relegated to the bottom now.
That's all right. I know my place. Don't worry. Like Craig, I have also redesigned my pod area. I have a shirt. Oh, no, that way. I have a shirt now. I can't do it. A shirt now hanging up. Rich said, can't you get something in the background to make it look less dull? So I've done that as well. So
the amount of times I've tried to point at Paul Mariner. There you go. I've got him there. And look, my daughter's there and there as well. And there, that one should be easier. It's not in reverse. Right. Keep your questions coming. I can see it filling up. If you want a shout out, I think we've already said hi to FPL Tractor, Charlie, Gary, welcome, Michael, welcome, Julian. And we have questions coming in. Keep them coming. Get us a nice sort of long tail of questions, and we will get into them. Let's start here with Dan. Seb, let's go to you for that. Which young player do you think will benefit most from the new coaching regime? I assume, as I like to reframe every question that comes in, Seb, I assume Dan's referring to Kieran McKenna's background back in the day there with Spurs and with Manchester United and working with young players. And every time someone mentions Steve Cooper, Swansea and now Forest, it's all, oh, he's good working with young players. Hopefully they say the same things about Kieran McKenna. What's your view on that as a whole, Seb, and a particular player that may benefit?
I've got a couple I'd like to see. Can we class Rakeem Harper as a young player? I know he's not one of our own, but he's only is he 20, 21? I'd really like to see what McKenna can get out of him because obviously, you know, he's worked with, you know, some of the best midfielders in the world. So you'd like to think that's an area he's going to be very, very comfortable in. And Harper joined with this big reputation, didn't he? And we were all really, really excited. Didn't quite work the first 3 or 4 months of the season in that kind of midfield role alongside Evans. So I'm really looking forward to see if he can get something out of him because if he could be one that, you know, rises hopefully throughout the leagues with us, a bit like Edmondson. And I think the guys mentioned it on the Sunday show. I know he's not at the club at the minute, but I'm quite excited to see what he can do with Ndarbe if he comes back in off loan from Salford. You know, naturally left-footed player, a ball-playing centre-half. And if we're going to persist with this three at the back and, you know, he likes that left-footed balance, I'd really like to see what he can get out of him in terms of bringing the ball forward, because we know Wolfenden's comfortable at it, Edmondson comfortable at it, but Ndarbe could be one, I think, that could really look to push on.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Keep your questions coming. If you want a shout out, give us a holler in there, and we'll try and get it to you. Let's go on. Yeah, who had two questions in the sweepstake for that one, Stuart? Well done. We needed to talk about it, didn't we? Views on keeper. Can we keep Walton? Before you give your opinion, Craig, are you able to give a bit of a pricey on the situation as it stands right now with Christian Walton and Brighton and wherever he may or may not end up?
Yeah, well, I think as has been reported in the EADT, we think that Brighton have like triggered the return clause on his contract that they can do during the transfer window. But it had like a 7-day calling off period, I think. So having triggered it after the Gillingham match, he can obviously play at Bolton. So, yeah, I think it's probably just a decision now needs to be made, whether they've done it for, you know, to hurry up a reason and get a decision made. I know that they're sending out their current third choice goalkeeper, I believe, on loan to the Championship. So they're either going to want him back to act as, crikey, what a job that would be, you know, the third choice goalkeeper who just turns up on a match day and warms people up and then gets into his suit and disappears, sort of thing. Or get us into, you know, producing an offer on it, putting an offer on the table. But, you know, you think financially, I'm not entirely sure that's as easy as it sounds, really. If you're Christian Walton and you're sitting on a Premier League contract until June, July, are you going to knock on the head? I suppose they could in some way, you know, arrange a signing on fee that would swallow some of it and comfort, you know, cushion the blow of moving from a Premier League wage to a high League One, lower Championship wage. I think that will be the sticking block. He says he wants to stay. He's obviously going to be playing every match. I just think that the finances may not quite work out, but you know, you never know.
It could be some very bad timing as well, because it seems like goalkeepers are in very short supply, and it's like mental in the Championship, because Sarkic, the Birmingham keeper who was on loan, got injured. So did the QPR reserve keeper who's replacing the other keeper who's off at AFCON. So they were immediately two Championship clubs were then straight in for a keeper. Swansea then sent theirs on loan to, was it Peterborough?
He went to Peterborough, yeah.
Yeah, Peterborough, and signed the Milton Keynes keeper, which now means they would be looking as... So it seems like having a goalkeeper that's actually under a permanent contract is quite an important thing at the moment. And yeah, I think there's still going to be... And remember, you're not going to wait until the end of the window for keepers, are you? They need to be done right now, don't they?
Yeah. The thing is, Christian Walton's he's not a League One goalkeeper, is he? You know, debut apart, he's not a League One goalkeeper. He shouldn't be playing League One football. He's a Championship goalkeeper, isn't he? He's just a normal, solid, stand-up goalkeeper, isn't he? You haven't got to worry about him at all. He'll just get on with his job. There's no frills. There's no mistakes. He just does his job. And I say he's worth every penny if we can get him. I'm just concerned that we'll fall short in terms of wages.
Yeah, yeah. Keep your questions coming, guys. I'll warn you, there might be a... This is a bit like going to Wagamama or something. There might be a 10-15 minute wait for your food as everything gets answered. But we'll try and get...
Can we give people like those little... I'm going to call them vibrators that they put in their pockets.
That's Frankie and Benny's. Don't ask Richard about Frankie and Benny's. And terrible news that Oxford might be moving stadium as well. Woof. Right, let's get in to another one. Let's go to you, Seb. Gary, and what is that? Is that R2-D2 from...
I believe it's C-3PO.
C-3PO, yeah, sorry, it's a different one, isn't it? Yeah, there you go. You out-nerded me then, Craig, which I'm quite pleased about.
Bloody hell, man. I don't think knowing who C-3PO is.
That still classes as out-nerding, or just maybe a complete lack of general pop culture. Who should be our number one target in the transfer window, says Gary? I think we need another out-and-out striker. What does the, rather than general players, say, what does the squad need as such?
The left-back area kind of screams out as well a little bit, doesn't it? You know, Coulson, did Wilder say he was 4 to 6 weeks away, I think? Maybe 2 weeks ago, he's back at the club now, isn't he, after the treatment up at Middlesbrough? So, you know, are they going to keep him around? I'm guessing so, because they might have sent him back already, like we terminated the Louis Barry contract. Penny's looked better in the last two games. He got the assist, obviously, against Gillingham, and he has looked better. But I think if you could get a Wes Burns replica on the left-hand side of the pitch, it would make such a difference, wouldn't it? Could Carl Edwards be sort of trained to fulfil that role? Maybe that would be an interesting one. But left-back is one for me, or left-wing-back, rather, is one that could scream out, because you can see the havoc that Burns causes on the right-hand side. If we could just replicate half of that on the left, Christ, we'd have some real, real options going forward, wouldn't we? With regards to a striker, I mean, you know, I guess it all depend on what happens with the guys we've got. If we make Bond permanent, then there's no real need to get somebody else in, because Norwood's probably still going to be around for the rest of the season. Piggott was the big summer signing, who's the only one of all the strikers who's still contracted to be here after the end of this season. Jackson might well move on, but I think if Bond joins permanently, then there's no need to get a striker in, because I think we'd be okay in that area. So for me, the left back or left wing back position could make a real difference.
Beautiful stuff. FBL Tractor, I think we've covered that, haven't we? With QPR and Posh getting keepers. Are there any other Championship clubs on the lookout for one? Quick scan. Well, MK might be an equal worry, like we said. I don't know whether Derby will replace Marshall, who's gone to QPR to cover Archer and or Dieng. Di Cornell might be available if Bender's gone from Swansea to Peterborough. I'm just scanning up the table.
If Walton does go, it'd be interesting to see what we do in terms of replacements. Now, have we got a loanee lined up just to get us to the end of the season, or have we got a?
You'd have to give Faith the Clagkey, wouldn't you? Surely, you know, we've paid good money for him. Was it a 3-year contract? They'd have to surely back him for at least 6 months to see if he can really make the step up or move on.
Yeah, I suppose. Well, I suppose it depends if they're still going balls out for promotion. If you can hang your hat on Clagkey, you know, if you've only got two senior goalkeepers in any case, haven't you?
So apparently all you have to say, Craig, for a 100% laugh ratio is balls out. And we both giggled like children. Guys, keep the questions coming. Awesome, awesome stuff. Please, wherever you're watching, hit the thumbs up button. It only takes you like a millisecond. Just do it on your YouTube or on your laptop or on your iPad or whatever, where you're watching on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. And it just helps bring a few more people across to the stream. Hopefully it gets us a few more questions. If you haven't already, please follow on Twitter, like on Facebook, and subscribe over on YouTube for all of our lovely, although I would say that, content. Craig, is it your go? Which players would you like to see sign this transfer window? Are there specific players? Seb sort of outlined a position, which you didn't seem to disagree with, Craig. Any specific players other than obviously those that are on loan?
I don't think we need to sign any more, do we? Particularly, you know, as Seb says, if we can get a left wing back, stroke midfielder, stroke left back, I think we've got enough in the squad to see us in terms of volume of numbers. Seb's initial answer in regards to Harper, that's again, I've banged a drum from Harper from pre-season that I think he could potentially play that Morsey role. Don't get me wrong, Morsey's been bloody ridiculous at it so far in terms of output and assists and carrying the ball up the field and things. He doesn't always look entirely natural at it, but I think, you know, in terms of a fit, that seems to be the marauding midfield is what Harper's turned into, hasn't he, after he's starting off as a defensive midfielder. I suppose it might come to who goes, mightn't it? If, as Seb says, Jackson might disappear. When's the last time anyone saw John Nolan? He'll be paid off, won't he? Surely, crikey.
Surely Swansea will bid for Fraser as well, won't they?
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah, and again, it wouldn't be a loss in terms of where we're at the moment, in terms of him being used. Craig didn't even make the bench, did he, on Saturday? So I think maybe if we get another central defender. If we're playing three central defenders, you're going to need more than Burgess and dear old Ntiala as cover for them, I'd have thought. Maybe there's a young defender somewhere we can have in as cover.
Apparently so. But yeah, more of that maybe soon. Seb, it looks like a couple of people asked the same question here. Michael and Andrew, in terms of players loaned out, is there any value in any of them coming back? Being it seems to be the fashion to recall everybody at the moment, every club. I don't know if it's a COVID thing, but everyone's just taking up the break clause, aren't they, and recording everybody.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the big names that we've got, the bigger clubs, you know, Dobra isn't really setting the world alight down at Colchester. Tyree Simpson obviously doing really well at Swindon, but he's playing week in, week out, which surely is going to be much better for his development than coming back here and maybe getting the odd cameo off the bench. So happy for him to stay out there. And then Darba up at Salford, I don't know if he's playing regularly up there at the moment, but if he is, again, I would personally leave him there because, you know, these guys playing week in, week out in League Two is going to be far, far better for them than playing the occasional under 23 game and getting the occasional, you know, few minutes off the bench. I would leave them out and then take stock of the situation in the summer. Like Craig said, our squad is massive. You know, we don't need to be adding bodies back to it. We need to be looking to shift probably four or five of the dead wood, shall we say, out and sort of trim it down a little bit, I think.
Dead wood, beautiful. Mark, is Norwood's return to the first team the best comeback story in ITFC recent memory? Will his contract get expanded? Will there be a Hollywood movie? Now, Craig, for all of the people that like to accuse us podcasters of being wise-asses and never admitting I was wrong, listen to this next 10 seconds. I thought Norwood was completely done. That ship had sailed and he was gone. So I was completely wrong about Norwood and very pleased to admit it, considering his goal output of late. Best comeback in ITFC history. I think Mark may be in, maybe slightly over-egging the pudding then, but it's been brilliant, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been brilliant. And he has been exactly as we hoped he would have been had he been fit for any period of time beforehand. And I don't know, he says about his contract. I don't reckon his contract will be renewed, will it? I think we'll just get to the end of the season and he'll bang in a few goals and he'll be 32 next season and we'll probably move on. But I think we'll get as much use out of him as we can between now and the end of the season. You know, if he scores a goal every game between now and the end of the season, happy days. I was reading something interesting actually on, it was either on Twitter. Christ, I can't believe I just said that. I'd read something interesting on Twitter or TWTD about Norwood and him being left out by the powers that be or the people behind the scenes.
Stick your tinfoil hat on for this bit then, Craig.
They were just wondering whether the fact that he had been told to, or Cook had been told not to play him, is now benefiting us in that he's had an extended break and was training and getting fit and has sort of his body's recuperated sufficiently, rather than him being back and being out for 2 weeks, then being back, then being out for 3 weeks, you know, whether that extended break is actually going to perversely benefit him between now and May by actually being able to churn out the games.
Beautiful stuff. Seb, from Josh, who's that in the picture there? Getting their face mauled. Beautiful. Are you surprised we haven't done anything in the market yet? We were told we would be active and wanted to do business early. That's true, actually, what Josh says. Mark Ashton was quite kind of bullshy about it. You know, I'm trying to think when he was sort of quoted, maybe he was just in PR mode, just having hired a new manager. But I kind of agree with what Craig just said, Seb. It doesn't need much manoeuvring, does it, that squad?
No, I don't think so. I'm a little bit surprised nothing's really been done. I think it was one of the AGMs, wasn't it? He came out and said, we'll be active in January. And did he refer to it as a reshuffle or a restocking or something? I thought we'd see more outgoings than incomings. But I guess what's happened with COVID over the last, 4 weeks now has probably dramatically changed things, because a lot of people are now going to want to be stockpiling players to, you know, ensure that fixtures can be played and they've got enough people in the building. I was listening to the Darren McAnthony podcast on my way home from work today, the Peterborough chairman, and he was saying January is proving a nightmare because, you know, clubs are holding on to their players. Nobody wants to let anybody go. There are a few loans available, but trying to get business done is a bit of a nightmare. So I guess we're seeing a bit of a knock on that, of people wanting to hold on to the quality in the building to protect themselves, and the fact that that we are, you know, maxed out in terms of the squad numbers. We're allowed, is it 22, isn't it, plus the goalkeepers. We're maxed out there because Louis Barry was obviously 18, so he was young enough to not qualify for the list. And we're, by all accounts, we're maxed out on the salary management cap protocol rules as well, aren't we? So, you know, until somebody moves on, either Walton, you know, goes back officially or somebody else leaves or gets paid up, I guess we're not going to see anything maybe for a week or so yet.
Robert, I think we've covered, beautiful dog he's got there in his picture. I love looking at people's profile pictures. They're tremendous there. I think we've covered Walton and Bon so far, Robert, so hopefully that's all done. Michael, Bart or Walton, who is the better keeper? Bart on his line, but Walton to control the whole of his area. Can I take that one, boys? I always thought about Bart that Mick and now Gary Rowett know how to play him, and when his strengths are accentuated, of which there are many, and his sort of few weaknesses are hidden, he's a brilliant goalkeeper. So I'd have to say Bart, but obviously Walton's got a lot of years to maybe get to a higher level than Bart, who has proven himself to be a brilliant championship keeper, but never quite went any higher. And my Bet365 app has just flashed to tell me West Ham 1, Norwich 0, which for those people that like that sort of thing will be interested in that news. We will stay as impartial and balanced as ever here, Craig. In fact, to balance that out, Tottenham 0, Chelsea 1. And those are people that like that sort of thing will like that
just,
as well.
Just about Walton and Bart.
Yeah, go ahead, go on.
You were at Wickham, obviously, weren't you, Ben? And save that Walton made was very reminiscent of a Bart type save, wasn't it?
I was still thinking about how tall you were when he made that save, Craig. I couldn't quite concentrate.
Very kind of you. but you know, but that, do you know what I mean? But that instant fall down to your right and scoop it away from the goal, that was a Bart type save, which we saw crossed more times than we cared to mention over the course of what, 2 or 3 years. And to be fair, Walton really hasn't had too much to do. But Bolton aside, the home match, he hasn't been called into action to make those sort of saves. But what he has done is just sort of exude a bit of calm confidence at the back. And you can tell that the guys who are playing in front of him, which is completely the opposite to what it looks like when Hlaki's stood behind them, is that, you know, they know that they're in safe hands with him behind them.
How's that for a bit of karma? Goal disallowed. West Ham 0, Norwich 0. I will say no more and I will shut my mouth. All I'll say is, and we've said it many times on the pod, it feels like there's been a split in goalkeeping, and Richard and Christian Walton kind of did this on the interview show we did with him. And it's almost binary, isn't it, as a modern goalkeeper and an old school goalkeeper, and being able to play with split centre halves with these short goal kicks that where the centre halves are literally in the 6-yard box and needing to slide a straight ball. Did you see who was it? Who's Palace goalkeeper? Butland in the FA Cup at the weekend. Classic example of.
Yeah, I heard the podcast about it.
Yeah, and he just needed to slide it in. And, you know, it seems like there's an old school, new school click. And I'd probably put Bart in the old school and Walton maybe in the new school there. Chris, nobody seems concerned about playing an attacker rather than a defender wide right, but a few seem to suggest the same on the left. Edwards, isn't he a decent potential alternative to Penny? Whose go is it? Whose question is that?
I think it's mine, and I'll link it back to like what I said earlier, how, yeah, I don't see why he couldn't really do a job there. You know, he's pretty good defensively. All the times we've seen him in the 4-2-3-1 on the left-hand side, he is the one that will sort of tuck back in and help the fullback and stuff. So he seems to have a good engine. He seems to be decent defensively. We could just get McKenna to coach some form of end product, then that could be really, really exciting.
Absolutely. Is he left-footed?
No, he cuts in. I think he's right-footed, but he likes to cut in, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's what. I mean, yeah, that's what. But it's the same as having if Vincent Young was playing there, isn't it? In that he'll get within 20 yards of the touchline. You know damn well that what's going to happen next is he'll be cutting back to get the cross in, and so does everyone else. Whereas Penny just goes, isn't he? He'll if he's not knocking it past someone and going, he's running it, belting into space, and you know reaching the through balls, which is, he doesn't. You know, as you said earlier, Seb, if you can have a mirror image of Burns on the left, then Christ, you'd be happy days, eh?
Beautiful. Bits, live reacting to what? What's happening? Have we signed Ronaldo? Bits, you massive Shahouse. No, we haven't signed Ronaldo, but we love to have you here, Bits, and we look forward to your sensible question. Let me see, has he put... He has put, there you go. He has put a sensible one further down. You can wait to have that answered, Bits. Don't worry, we love you, really. Richard, the ghost of my Frankie and Penny's complaint will haunt Oxford if they move. But Rich, it will be like us knocking down the North Stand, won't it? Oxford moving away from the Frankie and Benny's. Michael, I think you've just answered that, Seb, haven't you, about Kane Vincent Young. Jeff, from a Macam, are you guys going to go on a run and do us a few favours? Craig, never rely on us to do anything. Can we, we're not involved in the title race, but we could be involved in the title race if we were a nuisance. And can you speak a little bit about the Lee Johnson thing that last night? I'm interested in your thoughts on that as well, Craig.
Oh, you teed me up for that one. The thing is, if we do go on a run, I'm not sure it's going to affect Sunderland too much because our next matches are Bolton, Accrington, Wimbledon, Wednesday, Gillingham, Doncaster. I don't think any of those will be troubling Sunderland anytime soon, are they? But yeah, here's hoping we can go on a run. And then by the time we do end up getting to play, who we got left to play that's near the top? Wigan and Rotherham, but that's not until Easter time, is it? So yeah, no. I'm not entirely sure we can help them out too much. And actually, I'd rather us lose every match if it means that Lee Johnson doesn't get promoted.
Unbelievable. And I thought Bits was a shithouse then. You've just upstaged him there, Craig, haven't you? Couple of comments quickly. Howard, not sure I get the common view that Edwards could make a left wing back. I think you might agree with Howard there, Craig, in terms of cutting in.
I don't know where he does fit in the cup. Well, although to be fair, you know, it's not as if we played two games under McKenna and we played two different systems under McKenna, haven't we? So he may well fit in nicely once we play the system that suits it.
Seb, Rich says, anniversary of our 1-0 win over Arsenal in the League Cup, a rare high since 2002, the highest high. I can't think of a better one off the top of my head, Seb.
No, because even in the playoffs in 2015, we only equalised, didn't we? So, yeah, that is probably the highlight of the last 20, the last 10 years or so. Yeah, brilliant.
Someone put a tweet up today saying that Fulham are only the second team to score 7 goals twice in the season. Peterborough were the other. And I looked, and it wasn't the season they put 7 past us. It was like I had to do a bit of Googling in my dates there, but obviously I still got the PTSD. Right, I'm going to try this.
Haven't Fulham scored 7 away from home?
Twice. Yeah, they have. Yeah, Blackburn.
Blackburn, wasn't it? Yeah.
Last night already. Well, I'm going to try this again. Bet365 is telling me West Ham 1, Norwich 0 on 42 minutes. Let's throw in as well Crewe 1, Charlton 0. And VAR has just scrubbed off a Tottenham penalty. If you're watching along that whilst you're listening to us, enjoy football. Right, pray silence. Bits has put a sensible question in. Okay, let's see if it actually is. Guys, what do you? Oh, okay. No, he hasn't. Is it your go, Craig? What do you have lined up for the 10th win in a row for our magician McKenna? Blue Monday Live. Look, Blue Monday Live will happen once all pandemic-y stuff is quietened down, but I'll try and make Bits's question sensible. How long can the run go? The fixtures look all right, don't they?
Yeah, I'll just count it. Our 10th win would be Burton at home, so we've got faggots all round after the Burton match.
That favourite food stuff of ours, and please don't go back into podcast history to listen to the last slightly politically incorrect reference to that word, not made by any of our wonderful Blue Monday team. I will stop digging now before that. We've got a 7-second delay on this, for God's sake. Seb, HCH, do you think that Bonn and Norwood are better than Piggott? I assume he's asking each individually. I suspect you think Bonn is, but give me a toss up between Norwood and Piggott then.
Well, Norwood will bring you things that Piggott obviously can't do. So Norwood is your pest, isn't he? I'd say Bonn is the best of the three. I don't think from Piggott you're going to get that sort of nasty, streetwise, in your face kind of thing you get from Norwood. But all round, I'd imagine Piggott's probably technically a better player. Very good, goal scoring at this level, goal scoring record at this level. But given how we currently line up and stuff in this league, I think you need that streetwise, that nasty little streak. And as we've seen with Norwood coming back into the side, you know, it's really, really working for us so far. So I think the pecking order would be Bonn by far and away the best, then Norwood, then Piggott for me.
Thing is, awesome. Poor old Piggott, whenever he comes on, he's the same at Gillingham. He's just trying so desperately, isn't he? He's just trying things. And as you would do, you've only getting 10 minutes at the end of a match, whatever it is. You've got to try and make an impression, but you're trying too hard. And as a result, things aren't coming off for you. As well, he just needs to.
I think I would have liked him to take the penalty, but...
I think that's a circumstance.
That was a funny one at the weekend, in that the only reason Chaplin took it is because the ball happened to fall near where Chaplin was standing when, after Piggott had been thrown to the floor. You know, Chaplin basically picked the ball up and kept hold of it.
A lot of managers do have that, even if it's Ruud van Nistelrooy, that the guy who gets fouled doesn't take it. I think Thierry Henry did that, didn't he? Always passed on the penalty if he'd been... fouled for.
They didn't know who was taking it on Saturday. They were discussing it between themselves, basically. And Chaplin wasn't letting go of the ball.
Okay. I was going to say, I think it's a better circumstance for Piggott now that there's a sort of front two being played in a few games, and it seems like there's a more opportunity for him to get it, at least with a front two. And I know I've mocked the two up top suggestions a lot, but at least if you're on the bench, you've pretty much know you're probably going to get on every game now for a reasonable amount. Remember that old Richard Naylorford, James Scowcroft substitution at 70 minutes by one of our great old former managers, Craig?
Well, yes, absolutely. Well, that's and Bonn was saying at the weekend that, you know, him and Norwood had been told basically to run the backsides off for 70, 75 minutes, and the plan was always to bring on two strikers to replace them to do exactly the same thing for the last 20. So, yeah, exactly as you say, you know, he's got far more chance of pretty much guaranteed to come on for at least 15 minutes each match.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Whether you need a VPN to protect you while online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Michael, who always gives us great contributions, this is probably not his best. What about that young guy who played versus Morsi? Can't remember his name or team. I bet he's talking about Matete from...
Yeah, Fleetwood.
Fleetwood, isn't he? But yes, yeah. I suspect he'll be going to a higher level than us. David... with Richardson doing well at Wigan and so far McKenna getting a great tune out of a Paul Cook squad, is this showing future teams that Cook isn't as great as we all thought? Can I take that one? Guys, all will be revealed when Reading fire Veljko Paunovic in about 10 days' time and Paul Cook gets the Reading job, won't it? But, David, honestly, I hope I hope not. I hope you're wrong because I like Paul Cook and I don't want to see him fail. But you may be right. Who knows? Some managers just, you know, get off that winning run and never find it back. But I know a lot of people don't. I still have a lot of goodwill to Paul Cook, and I hope he does well in his next job. And I hope he's not a busted flush now without Richardson. Right, keep your questions coming. This is tremendous.
It'd be interesting to see where he does end up, wouldn't it, actually? Because there doesn't seem to be any obvious clubs immediately who seem to be immediately looking for a manager in League One. As you say, Bennett, maybe actually ends up higher up.
Yeah. He's still got enough stock to go to the lower level championship side. I think he could get one of those based on his previous.
You don't know what the new Hull owners are going to do either when they eventually take over. Often they want a new guy. I'm scrolling down. It's always those two that come up, and there is the potential. I don't think Nigel Pearson or Lee Bowyer would get sacked, but I think they're two managers that, if they got more fed up, would walk. But it's a fool's errand trying to guess which championship job is going to come up next. You're very, very likely to be wrong. So I'll stop trying to do it. Right, where are we going to go next? Actually, I'll just chuck that in from Robert. Is it you up next, Seb? We have been linked with a few Manchester United players. That seems, I don't think he's putting two and two together there. That seems like such an obvious contact to utilise and thing to happen. Surely, if not now, in summer, that will happen, won't it?
Oh, I would have thought so, yeah. Maybe not so much this window, given the size of our squad already, but certainly in the summer, you've got to think he'll be using his contacts to tap up the best available youngsters. Because, the quality of somebody coming through the Man United Academy is going to be absolutely superb, and they'll want to get them out for some decent game time and decent exposure. So surely there'll be a list already. He might have given some of the names to Ashton for this window, but I'd imagine certainly in the summer, when we've had a bit of a few players released, he'll certainly look to go back there and maybe bring in a couple.
The thing is with that, and bringing in people of that ilk is the Louis Barry experience, isn't it? In that they're going to have to be very, very, very good if they're young to get in the team, aren't they? Otherwise, it's going to be another wasted loan, if you know what I mean. If they're going to be ready and, up and running and ready to go straight into a League One team at the age of, whatever they are, 18, which is going to be a hell of a player, to be fair. So to get into our squad as it stands at the moment.
Let's dive in. I think you've already given him a mention. He's going to get two mentions. Whatever happened to John Nolan at Ipswich, Craig? And obviously the more pertinent question maybe is what will happen to John Nolan in this month or beyond?
I'd imagine what will happen for the next 6 months is what will happen with the previous 6 months is not an awful lot. He's not even being really mentioned. If he gets... Obviously, the guys ask him in the press, ask McKenna in the press conferences, and he's nearly back, things like that. I just think it's worth just writing off. You've, as Seb was saying about the wage structure and things, he's included in our squad, 22-man squad, whatever happens to be, and therefore he's included in our calculations, isn't he? It just seems to be a complete waste of time. But similarly, as Seb was saying about transfers and it being a bit tough in this window, we won't be biting our nose to spite our face in terms of we won't be letting him go with no one else to come in. But it just seems a weird one. I think similar, he'll just be let... He'll get towards the end of the window maybe and he'll be let go if he can find something else to get line himself up.
Seb, great question that. Norman Greenwald, when do you think ITFC will announce the first transfer either in or out? And can I add to that, will it be in or will it be out?
Well, we all assumed we'd do some business, so you'd like to think hopefully something might come in the next week or so. Hopefully it might be either, maybe Bond made permanent. Walton, like Craig said earlier, not entirely sure they're going to make that one work. So I guess it's one of those dominoes, isn't it? Walton going could well start a few moves in because, it frees up a squad place, it frees up a loan spot, and it probably frees up quite a chunk of wages. We don't know what we're paying towards the wage contribution, but you've got to assume we're covering at least half of a Premier League contract, and that maybe could get you a couple of bodies at League One level, so we might see a bit of a domino where Walton going might kick the market into life for us.
Howard has asked me directly here things because I'll give the most ridiculous answer probably. Ben, what's a recruitment room? Well, I think Howard is referring to the following quote that I've got on my screen over here. While discussing his transfer strategy on the Spire podcast at Chesterfield, Paul Cook said, I've just left the football club in Ipswich who didn't have a recruitment room in the summer. As I've left, still has no recruitment room. How are you supposed to recruit players? How? So I'd assume there's a fax machine probably in the recruitment room, a sofa, maybe a copy of Football Manager and a picture of Harry Redknapp. If it's a Paul Cook recruitment room, a really nice coffee machine, I reckon, in the corner, and lots of plastic cups. I've got, who asked the question? Howard, I've got no earthly idea what a recruitment room is. I assume he means, oh, what was that? They had it at Liverpool, didn't they? Like a recruitment committee. I assume that's what he means, Paul Cook. But
it's something we've spoken about a few times on the pod, is it? Whether he's instead of referring to actually, you know, being able to get transfers over the line, which we didn't have a problem with, it's more a case of whose actual decision was it to make which particular transfer, you know, because, you know, as we've said time and time again, you can sort of work out that Rakeem Harper and Kyle Edwards were probably not top of Mark Ashton's list, but they were probably offered to him to say, you know, we can get this done if you want it done, sort of thing. But yeah, I think it's probably more intimate. There wasn't much joined up thinking behind the scenes, but there wasn't much joined up thinking when he joined the club. It wasn't anything new, was it?
I do like the idea of a specific room with a sign on the door, literally saying recruitment room. Do you think, you know, when Alex Ferguson got Ronaldo and they were in Lisbon, do you think he just balled into some office and said, right, close this down. I'm making this into a recruitment room right now. It's going to become my office, like Vince McMahon in whatever stadium he is in wrestling. Always has Vince's office, doesn't he, on the telly. Let's read out some comments rather than questions. I think we've got a few comments here. Norwood is our watered-down version of Billy Sharp. We'll always get goals. If he scores half the amount of goals Billy Sharp scored, give him a new contract right now, and because he was keep scoring until he's about 37, weren't he? Rumour that NCR is on Merseyside talking to a club. He's from up that way, isn't he? Maybe Norwood has finally started to settle his life off-field and move on. We're now seeing his real potential when he is assisted properly up front. Yeah, I think we're good. Is that Bits? No. Someone typed that for him. Someone typed that for him, didn't they, Seb?
Bits, let us know if you're okay, Bits.
Unbelievable. Mark, if we need to make room in the squad for numbers wages, what about the lesser spotted Tom Carroll? Not done anything wrong, but hardly prayed. Fair point, Seb. Do you want to pick up on Tom Carroll quickly?
Yeah, obviously got injured, didn't he, and didn't really feature, but I guess he's got a bit of a link to McKenna from his Spurs days. I think he was one of the ones that he name dropped in the first press conference saying he'd worked with him before. So, you know, technically a very good player. We've seen it in flashes a couple of times this season, that bit of composure on the ball, but it's only
oh, okay, I didn't realise that, yeah.
Yeah, he dropped him in, he knew him and Vincent Young from his time at Spurs. So potentially, you know, again, it's only a one-year contract, so maybe we'll just look to move him on because that area of the field is pretty congested.
He's been on the bench ahead of Fraser, isn't he? In the last, well, certainly at Gillingham he was. I can't remember Wickham, but he wasn't particularly great at Barrow away, was he, Carroll?
FPL Tractor, do you think Frey at the back is here to stay for the foreseeable, or will Kieran McKenna consider back four if he feels the work tactically? He's talked about flexibility early on. Can I take that one, guys? I think it will, incoming back four at Bolton this weekend then. But we said a few times, in terms of simplicity, and I think you might have suggested that actually, Craig, as well, and having an extra option when we weren't getting that 4-2-3-1 to work, it does allow you to get the two bodies up front if you're struggling. It does allow you to fold back into a more defensive shape with your three. And, you know, it can become a five, can't it? Especially if you've got someone like Morsi in front. So I think it's kind of a good half measure for maybe where he ultimately wants to go. Everything we heard, though, was 4-3-3, 4-2-3-1 on McKenna. So I think it'll be around for a short while, and you know, then he'll start. Be interested to see if he does the old pull out a centre half at, I don't know, 75 minutes and switch it to a back four and, you know, just start dripping that one in there. If and when we're behind in a game.
Yeah, so we may just see it because of the squad that we've got and the players that we've got. We may just see it till the summer in any case, and then we'll know from, you know, August the 6th. We'll know for sure what his formation is going to be because he's had a pre-season to get it into the players. You may well find out that's when the four at the back starts.
Chris, to make the playoffs, always, Chris is a supercomputer, isn't it? Town are likely to need 76 points, which means 12 wins, 5 draws. So what's that? 40, is that right? 12 times 3 is 36, 41. If I did that up right,
yeah, yeah.
41 in 21 games. So just shy of 2 points per game, 3 wins for every defeat. Can we do it? It's table-topping form. Seb, it's a lot to do, isn't it?
It is, yeah. There's so much traffic there as well. And, you know, if you'd have asked me 3 weeks ago, I'd have said not a chance in hell, but football is all about hope, isn't it? So I guess while we've got this bounce going, we can all be a little bit optimistic, but in reality, it's going to be a hell of an ask, put it that way. But if we can, you know, if we want to, if we can make that, like Craig said, with the run we've got, if we can make that winning run into a 5 or 6 game winning run, cue defeat now at Bolton on Saturday.
With a back four,
yeah. Then we can really hopefully look to, you know, move up the table quickly. But I think it's going to be a massive, massive ask.
Dare I say, we need a George Burley-esque type run, don't we? Winning 14 of our last 17 matches or something ridiculous.
Craig, the other thing we need is a low tide, don't we? We need, essentially, Wednesday, Pompey, Plymouth, Oxford, all to actually also be in good form and all to be taking points off team slightly, make it a bit of a bun fight, and then maybe that possible 76 for sixth place drops to 74 or 73, and then, you know, things get easier then. But yes,
and we do play them all, don't we? I'm just looking at the fixtures here. We've actually got Portsmouth, Oxford, and Plymouth one game after the other in March.
So lovely.
Yeah,
I'll look forward to that, Craig. What else have we got here? Hello, Ipswich fans. Is it better since last time I was here for the Barrow live stream? Oh, there you go. Thank you, Alistair. I think it's a Reading fan. Look, he says, please, Ben, stop kicking me when I'm that. Sorry. I've been posting some Reading. Just getting some opinion on Reading today. What else have we got in here? There you go. Stephanie's got it sorted. Playoffs aren't unfeasible. I hope so. I really, really hope so. Skip intro, Seb. Or is it Craig? Whose go is it?
Craig, I think.
Craig, where do you think Selina fits in under K-Mac? That nice number 10 spot that Aluko's got?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. And I think he'd play it quite well. He's as intelligent as Aluko. He's got the same sort of touch and close control. He probably just needs a few games to get back up to speed. But he hasn't actually been appearing on the bench either, has he? We just assume he's still not quite... quite match fit, but, you know, having signed him on transfer deadline day, whenever it was, you'd have earned yourself a few quid if you'd have said that in January the following year that we'd be praising Aluko and hoping that he doesn't get injured, and, you know, Selina, we weren't even missing him, sort of thing. But yeah, I think he seems to be a pretty decent fit for them. But then so does Chaplin, doesn't he? I'm not entirely sure Fraser does, but I think Chaplin, Aluko, and Selina could all play that current number 10 role without much issue.
Here we go. Go on, Seb. You'll be pleased to miss this one then.
Thanks.
What do you guys think of Marcus Evans' possible takeover at Huddersfield? I got asked by a Huddersfield website to do some quotes on this, and the first thing I was very cognizant of was not to sound like a Bristol City fan talking about Mark Ashton. So I tried to be very, very balanced, and I always have Joe's words ringing in my ears. I thought he nailed it a few years ago. Marcus Evans isn't a bad owner. He's a hapless owner. Mm. His heart's in the right place. Just made a lot of bad decisions, trying to make good decisions. Seb, why on earth, having lost, we don't know the number. It could be as high as £90 million. We don't know what the agreement was with in terms of what's been written off, what's... you know, what was actually paid here. We've heard numbers, but come on, it's all speculation, isn't it? Why on earth in this time, Huddersfield as well. Huddersfield are doing brilliantly. They're in the last year of parachute payments, which they haven't really got to use because that funded a takeover. Championship's completely broken. Anybody who gets near promotion and doesn't go up is getting points docked or on the verge of disaster. Why the hell would he want to do it all over again?
It's bizarre, isn't it? Yeah, it's strange. You would think, you know, maybe learn his lesson and look to move on. But for whatever reason, if there is substance in the story and he's looking to build, then good luck to him. You know, he was never, as Joe said, he was never he was a damaging owner in terms of what happened to us on the pitch. But he was never, you know, negligent. Like, he was just useless. He made really, really bad decisions. So I would be very surprised if he went there. I've got no idea what that means to his 5% in. Well, that's been diluted, hasn't it? I think O'Leary came out of one of the AGMs that it's more like 1.5 or 2% now or something. So I've got no idea what that means to his stake in us. But if he does go there, good luck to him, and hopefully he'll have learned some of the lessons from us, and he'll, you know, surround himself with a more modern structure. I guess the worst case is he goes there, the parachute payments have stopped, and, you know, he tries it like he did here for a couple of years, gets nowhere, and then suddenly he's right back where he started again. So, you know, good luck to him if he does go there. But if I was him, I would have learned my lesson and definitely moved away from the industry.
All I'll say,
if I was his kids looking at my inheritance being spunked up the wall at Ipswich Town and then being spunked up the wall at Huddersfield Town, I'd be questioning my father.
At least he's got Corberon's a kind of good young forward-thinking manager, and Dean Hoyle, who used to be the chief exec, has just gone. I'm not sure entirely that you get a mixed view from Huddersfield fans on that, but at least there's somebody, because we always thought that was a huge problem, wasn't it? That he never put the right person in between himself and then the manager and the players. And
well, it's not necessarily he didn't put the right person, he just never trusted anyone, did he?
No,
ever trust anyone.
He trusted Mick,
He never backed Mick at the right time, did he? It was just his timing was always awful. You know, we always go back, yeah. Richard Sliding Doors video, 2015 January transfer window, that was the time to do it. And, you know, we hesitated and didn't do it. And look where we are now.
But so he just never trusted anyone within the club to make the decisions, everything had to be signed off by him. You know, it's not as if the guys have got Mark Ashton here to say, look, it's your gig, you live and die by it sort of thing. We never ever had that here, did we? It was always Marcus Evans signing checks for a bloody glass watcher that going in the kitchen.
You would think Marcus Evans would have liked a Mark Ashton type character, though, as in someone that's literally just going to run it for him. And,
you've got to pay big money to get those kind of people in, haven't you? So,
and you've got, like Craig says, Seb, you've got to really trust them with your, with your money. But
at least after, if he takes over after 5 years, you'll get one of those interviews where he's looking at the side again with his eyes reading every line.
I brought that up in the interview I did. I was like, we didn't see him for 10 years, and then when we did, he was blatantly reading off a flip chart. But I was prepared to die on that hill, and I have. Ipswich fans have beat me up for not liking that enough, so I've admitted defeat on that, and it was a bigger problem for me apparently than the rest of the world. But what are you going to do? My wife says the recruitment room is like a casting couch for films. We'll move on from that, Michael. Howard thanks me for my wonderful explanation.
Don't Google casting couch.
No. Is Ashton and McKenna waiting on Coulson to see where he is before bringing in a left wing back? That's probably a reasonable point, isn't it? We don't entirely know. Charlie, Walton and Bond, can we afford both? God, I don't. This is why League One fans hate us, but I'm going to say it. Yeah, we can, but whether we'll get both of them is a different matter. And what the FFP calculation will look like in a couple of years' time is a different matter.
You'd think that the wage that Bond's on, you know, we don't know, but you would think that the wage that Bond's on at QPR as a reserve striker isn't going to be a million miles away from what he'd earn as our top League One striker, would you? So in terms of getting a deal done, you think that, and obviously we know the background and his interest in joining us, etc., you think that'd be far, far, far more easier and far more likely to get done than
what? I keep seeing Lyndon Dykes linked with people, which is concerning, because if QPR were to sell Lyndon Dykes on January the 29th and didn't have time to replace him, you know exactly what they would have to do then as he's in the team as well, so. Well, they'd want to replace him anyway. Maybe I've debunked my own point there. Michael, could you see a club coming in for Edmondson near the end of the window? It's a bit early, maybe, Seb, is it?
Yeah, I think so. I think he'll definitely be here for the summer, but I guess I would be a little bit worried if we stay down, you know, and he keeps playing for the next 4 or 5 months like he has done for the last 4 or 5 months, because he's looked an absolute class above. You know, every single week he's a solid guaranteed 7, 8 out of 10, isn't he? He looks really, really classy at this level. And I would be worried that if we didn't go up this year, then, you know, a bit of, if somebody goes crazy and comes in with 3-4 million quid, they might well look to accept it and reinvest.
Lee O'Neill was Marcus Evans' equivalent of Ashton, and he didn't trust him. Fair point. Charlie adds as well, Evans must have Ashton type sales ready. Of course he must, mustn't he? You know, these people all delegate to make that type of money, don't they? Right. I think we're just about there, guys. We're at 52 minutes. We're happy to go another 7.5 minutes if there are any more questions to come in. In the meantime, please hit the thumbs up button. That really does help us out. I know that sounds idiotic, but there's algorithms and whatnot that when you hit that button, it ranks us a little bit higher and all of that good stuff. So do please hit that thumbs up button. Down the bottom, you can see all our socials as well. Everything we do will always be free here, but you can, if you want, support our work. We do have stuff to pay for, including the software we're using right now. And you can support us via PayPal, Acast, the supporter facility there in the Acast app, or you can support us right now on YouTube Super Chat. Look where you leave your comments. There's a lovely little dollar button. And if you want to donate, we promise it doesn't go to my red wine or Joe's shirts or whatever hipster thing Mikey's doing in Surrey, or Craig's Steve Whitten collection of whatever Craig's collecting about Steve Whitten, or Joe's Lego as well. But yeah, please do feel free to contribute if you want to. And yeah, there's all the socials ticking there. Any more questions? There we go. Seb, new contract for Aluko. How long's the contract, Seb?
It was 1 year, but I presume there's an option. I'm guessing that will certainly be triggered. But yeah, they've got to be having those discussions shortly, I would think, because, you know, we all saw him in that Newport game. He clearly wasn't match fit, and we kind of thought, weird signing to come in, didn't really fit with the rest of the model.
Fish.
Yeah, he's going to not be featuring much at all, and he's become one of our most important players. So I would imagine the extension would either definitely be triggered, or maybe just, you know, improve his term slightly, and it's fully deserved, because at the moment he's a real, real key member of the team, isn't he?
This is the worst part of the stream, is that I'm going to have to apologise to Bits, isn't it? He's owned me. Bits, thank you very, very much. £4.49 on the Super Chat. Everything I said about you earlier was false. And you are a wonderful man, and we thank you very, very much. But no, seriously, Bits, that's not the first time he's contributed, is it? So very, very kind indeed. Craig, obviously, Seb's going to go into this on the preview show, but how are you feeling about Bolton? HCH says have fallen off a cliff since they smashed us at home, and haven't they sold a few of their players to the lower divisions as well?
I don't know. Seb will tell you that.
Captain went to Stockport, who've got loads of money now.
And Owen Doyle went back to Ireland. Yeah, they've got really low bad of injuries. So yeah, me and Rich will be discussing that. So tune in on the Friday pre-match show for all that good stuff.
Craig's going to give a really good spoiler now. He's going to tell you exactly what's going to. You don't even need to watch the game, let alone listen to the preview show.
Yeah, we're going to win 2-0. that saved you an hour of your time on Friday night listening to Seven Rings.
What else have we got in the chat here, Dave? I always think, what's the Depeche Mode singer called, Craig? He's from your neck of the woods, isn't he?
Yeah, Dave Gorn, isn't it?
Yeah,
I don't know how you pronounce it.
Dave, I think I've had this existential crisis in the probably more than once.
No, he's not from my neck of the woods. He's from Billericay.
Where do you live?
Is that the same thing?
Oh my God!
Where do you live?
I'm on the north. No, I'm pretty much in Suffolk. I'm certainly not down that way near.
How many miles away are you?
I don't know, 40, 50.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. That's clearly not your neck of the woods.
Big county, Essex. Is it?
I don't know. I just assume everyone from. He's a great front man, though, Craig. If you knew him, that would be awesome.
If you knew him, yeah.
get him on the pod. All I ever wanted. I think Ashton's plan is to sell Edmondson from the Championship. He sold Webster from there. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? What was that? 3 million quid. With 2 million quid's worth of add-ons, and then sold him for 20 million.
20 million, yeah.
Yeah, there we go. Robert, you lads have been fantastic. Thank you, Robert. Thank you for getting the questions in, everybody. Quick straw poll then. Don't do this with your hearts. Do this with your heads. What's the score going to be then on Saturday, so we can give Seb the mood before he does the preview show? Get your predictions in. I mean, Bits has gone back to form there. He's going for... Well, to be fair, I think the last time we were at Bolton, we won 5-0, wasn't it, against their kids? Was that the last?
Children. Yeah, it was their kids, wasn't it?
That was uncomfortable.
That's when
it?
You weren't. That's when you weren't allowed to call games off for not having much of a squad.
Oh, do we get cancelled on YouTube for that? Does that count as a COVID comment? I don't know. 3-1, happily take 1-0. 4-0, 1-1. Dave Gorn was born in Epping. Yeah. Is that closer?
Epping?
Yeah.
Epping Forest. No, it's not closer than me now. It's just further around the M25.
It's right by the M25. I used to live in South Woodford. That's near Epping, isn't it? That's inside London, isn't it?
Yeah, your questions on metropolitan Essex, mate, are flying over my head here. As I keep telling you, I am North Essex, if not just nearly on the board. I'm rural Essex rather than weird metropolitan
Craig,
Essex.
Craig, I think Seb will agree. You're very defensive about talking about Essex, Craig. I think we have to talk about this afterwards. 2-0 Town, 2-0, 4-0, 3-1. Goodness me, 6-1. We are slightly overconfident here, guys. 3-1, 2-0. 3-0, 2-1. There we go. Right. That's going to do us. Thank you so much for your contributions. If you want a shout out, put it in there. We'll give you a shout out before we end the show. Craig, are you back on Sunday?
Yeah. Could go in Saturday. Yeah, travelling up Saturday.
So Craig, yeah. And I think Seb are going to be on the flagship show. Seb will be on the preview show, which you're going to plug in a minute. I've got to do one of my surreptitious. All being well, Craig could have something really cool for you. But as always, we don't like to break our arm slapping ourselves on the back here at Blue Monday. So when it's in the can, we'll hopefully do that. But yeah, Craig's hopefully got something good for you in the next sort of week or two, which should be great. Seb, do you want to just give a quick plug for the preview show?
Yeah, preview show. We're doing a pre-record tomorrow, which will be out on Friday in time for everyone to drive up to Bolton. Make sure you tune in for all the lowdown on Bolton, and make sure you tune in because for the first time, Rich has been knocked off the top of the Room 101 list.
Whoa,
you're going to pipe up with your people's champion.
Oh, there. Okay.
So yeah, he's now. I think we're going to end the feature now. I've requested the feature now be ended with my my victorious reign at the top of the table. So tune in, if not, just to see him squirm for about an hour.
I think we should put Essex in room 101 after
South Essex.
South Essex, whichever your house is not in. This will turn into a GeoGuessr pod. There used to be someone called GeoCatcher who used to comment on our pods and then left us a really nasty comment after he stopped listening. I don't know why that just popped into my head. You can see how this stuff affects us, doesn't it? Thanks, Charlie. Thanks, Michael. Who's going to Bolton? Raise your hand. Thanks, Julian. Rich, RIP Room 101. Yes, in all seriousness, I know I've been mocking Bits for the last half hour, except when he gave us some of his money. But do get your photo taken because he's going to have quite the... I don't know whether I can say it. He was going to compile these all and... into some possible thing that we can distribute. So is this not a football pod, not a geography pod? Well, evidently not. I mean, some people would say we know nothing about football, but I evidently totally know nothing about geography. Thank you, FPL Tractor. Right, say goodbye, Craig, and something nice about Essex.
Yes, goodbye, everybody. I shall be leaving Essex for a few hours on Saturday. So if you see me on Saturday, come and say hello, give us a shout.
And
I might go and see Bits and he can not take my photo like he did in the Wickham game, I think it was.
Unbelievable. And Seb, nice short journey for you. You're not going anywhere near Essex, and that's the best way, really, isn't it?
Christ, yeah, too right. I can't stand the people.
Thank you, everybody, for watching. Follow us at Blue Monday ITFC. You can follow us all on Twitter. Check out the preview show. And we'll be back with the flagship show on Sunday. Thank you, everybody. See you soon.
It's the promotion run-in. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much-needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nugget and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.